A reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshiped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them. And of you, I will make a great nation.'" But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath. Change your mind and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." The word of the Lord.
A reading from Timothy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I have received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Open our minds, warm our hearts, but also bend our wills, for we seek to hear your word. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Why do these two verses fit so well together? Lost and blind, found and seen. What is it about darkness that things are so easily lost there? And what is it about light that makes it impossible to hide? Lost and found is our call for today. Not just that we recognize the difference between them, but that as people of God, we seek to find all that is lost. That we search for sight amidst our own blindness. How many of you have ever been lost? I've been lost a few times in my life. At least a few times that seem much more significant than all the other times that I was lost and probably didn't even know it. The first time I was lost, I was here in Cincinnati, Ohio. No joke. Last year, when I came out to Cincinnati to interview for this position, someone asked me, I think it was Lee Hardy, if I'd ever been to Cincinnati before. And I had to tell her the story of how the last time I was in Cincinnati, I was really lost. I was 5 years old. My parents brought me here on a family vacation. Family vacation in downtown Cincinnati was quite a thrilling thing in the mid-90s. And we were here because my dad had some meetings and my mom had some old friends that she wanted to catch up with. So we were here at one of the big hotels in downtown Cincinnati, and I was left with my older sisters for several hours while my dad went to his meetings and my mom caught up with some of her friends. And they were generally pretty good at babysitting me. They always thought of fun things for us to do and fun activities for us to participate in. And the one that they had chosen for that day in particular was to go swimming in the hotel swimming pool. We were all pretty good swimmers. And it wasn't a problem that we were all there alone. They had other adults around to keep an eye out. But over the course of several hours, I kept telling my sisters, "I'm really hungry. I'm hungry. I need to get a snack." And in the pit of a five-year-old's belly, a snack doesn't last for very long. So I kept telling them, "This is something we need to do right now. We have to go. We have to get out of the pool and we have to go get a snack." And they kept putting me off. Melanie, just wait. We'll go in a little while. We're gonna get dressed and we're gonna go have lunch and you're gonna be fine. But I couldn't ignore that hunger. I was so hungry, as if I'd never even eaten breakfast. And so, without telling my sisters, I jumped up out of that pool and put on my towel, and I went off in search of something to eat. Now, I went first to the front desk at the hotel and asked for a key to my room. Now, in 2019, you would never, ever give a five-year-old a key to a hotel room, right? But this was the mid-90s, so the person at the front desk said, "What room are you in?" And I said, "529." I said, "Oh, what is your last name?" And I said, "Johnnikopoulos." And they said, "Can you spell that?" And I said, "Of course I can," and proceeded to do so, and there I was given my key to my room. So I went up the escalators and found myself some dry clothes, and I went off in search of something to eat. Well, five-year-olds aren't always great at intuing where the fastest and most likely place to find food is. So I walked around for quite a while searching until I smelled the delicious smells coming out of the hotel restaurant. And it had probably been a couple of hours, and my sisters had noticed I was gone and had gone off searching for me, looking everywhere they could think of, and finally they wound up at the front desk of the hotel telling the person that their little sister was gone, and they said, "Oh, I think I saw her. She came here and got a key." Great, they thought, she's in the room. So they went there. I was long gone. And they went off searching for me. Well, my oldest sister got pretty panicked and called my parents and told the hotel staff that I was missing and they didn't know where I was. And after several hours went by, they finally found me. In downtown Cincinnati, alone, five-year-old little girl, sitting up on the steel countertop in the hotel kitchen, eating chicken enchiladas. I had made friends with the cooks, of course, and they asked what I wanted to eat, and that was what I said, and there they made it for me. My hunger was fulfilled. Well, of course, when my parents came, I remember a rush of relief in the room. Everyone was so stressed about this situation. Maybe you're feeling a little stressed about the situation. Take a deep breath, because I was found. I remember them handing me my little black stuffed puppy dog animal that I carried everywhere and having it pressed up against my face as my parents held me tighter than I think they'd ever held me before. The fear that was in their hearts, it just melted away. And nothing but joy remained as I received a lecture about not running off ever, ever, ever again. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The lecture I received from my parents and the hotel security staff that day was like one of those Peanuts cartoons where the teacher is talking and all you hear is wah 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 wah. I didn't really understand a word that they said. And I didn't even believe that I had really been lost. But I certainly did feel the joy of being found. I must have known before that day that I was loved and valued. But being found after being lost, that's a feeling you don't forget. Our gospel for today is about that kind of joy. The joy of being found after being lost. The parables told today, they don't just come to us out of thin air, they come to us out of conflict. You see, Jesus is breaking bread with outcasts and sinners, healing the sick and proclaiming good news to the poor. He's hanging out with all the lost people. And this makes him pretty unpopular with the Pharisees and scribes and the majority of people who were gathered around to witness this radical inclusion. Jesus tells them a parable. There once was a sheep that was lost, but then it was found. And the shepherd of this little lamb, it had 100 sheep. But the value of each was what made the flock whole. Losing one was not an option. And so when the sheep is lost, the shepherd goes into the wilderness to find that sheep and bring it home. Can you imagine if that first time I was lost here in downtown Cincinnati, my parents would have just been like, "It's all right, we've got two other daughters. We don't need that one." No, shepherds do not do that. They see the value of each sheep. They love each one as a child. They know that without one, the family cannot be whole. Then we hear of the precious silver coin lost by the woman who lights a lamp and searches diligently until she finds it. She lights a lamp because things get lost in the darkness, in the wilderness, and in the places of our blinded sight. In both stories, the thing that is lost is found. The darkness is vanquished by the light, and the community rejoices together at the joy of being made whole again. This is the good news of our gospel, that God redeems those things which are lost, and the community feels the joy of all things being found. So what happens when more than one thing is lost? What do we do when the community is broken and scattered without a lamp to guide them home? Earlier, I asked how many of you had been lost before. And not many of you raised your hand, except for a few honest ones. I think if we are truly honest with ourselves, we can all raise our hand to a question like that. Because sometimes more than one thing is lost. Sometimes we are lost together. And we hear the story about a community like that in our reading from Exodus today. The people of Israel were wandering in the desert, led by Moses toward the promised land, and then left, hungry and afraid, as Moses ventures ahead of them up the mountain to find God. I always feel a little bit bad for the people of Israel in this reading for today. They're punished for making a new god for themselves, but they do it because they think that Moses is lost. He went up that mountain 40 days ago to be with God, and they haven't seen or heard from him since. And sitting there in the wilderness, what more logical conclusion could they have drawn than that God had no concern for them and that Moses is lost. From a place of logical reasoning, they make for themselves an image of a young bull made from the golden adornments that they wore on their wrists and necks and ears. They form for themselves a symbol of strength and prosperity that is visible to them. Something they can see and worship. Wouldn't we do the same? Don't we do the same? Haven't we worshiped a golden calf? Haven't we fed the narrative that brute force is the essence of strength, even though Jesus taught us that power is made perfect in those who are perceived as weak? The people of Israel thought that Moses was lost and dead and gone, and that the God he proclaimed was probably lost too. But here's the thing. Moses wasn't lost. They were. The people of Israel were the ones in the wilderness. They were the ones in the dark. They were the ones that needed to be found, to be reconciled, to be gathered in a place of safety and love and joy. Moses wasn't lost. They were. So I'm going to ask you again, how many of you have ever been lost? Today, I want us to consider that maybe we've been lost just like the people of Israel, thinking Jesus is lost and dead and gone, but in truth, we are the ones that are lost. Unable to see amidst the darkness, blind to the beauty of inclusion, afraid of moving forward to a promised land we have not yet seen, unwilling to give way to the mystery of God's hope for us, God's promise to us, a beloved community made whole by the embrace of every single person. We've been here before, haven't we? We've been lost, and we've been found. We've been lost as individuals, and we've been lost as communities. But Jesus keeps showing up for us, keeps coming back to us, keeps searching for us in dark wilderness places, keeps inspiring us to find the thing that is lost. Whether that's a young, desperate man with a gun in his hand, or a young girl who hates her body, or a child ripped from the arms of his mother, or an old man who thinks he has nothing left to give. The lost people are God's people too. And the lost people are the ones that Jesus worked so diligently to find. As Jesus in the world, we have got to go out and find the thing that is lost, even if that thing that is lost is us. We must do this, because it is only when we are all together that we are made whole. Together, made one in heaven and on earth, together we rejoice when things that are lost are found, and when people who have walked in darkness see that great light. May the joy of knowing Jesus keep you searching until all things that are lost have been found.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace